Good afternoon. Welcome to the Franklin Township Board of... Good afternoon. Welcome to the Franklin Township Board of Trustees special meeting on February the 26th, 2026 at 1 p.m. There's no reason to read the acknowledgement for the audience. And so, sir, would you mind doing a prayer?
I will. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and serve as trustees. And Lord, may we never get tired of hearing that, and that we do the will of the people. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And we ask that you continue to be with the Guffrey family. I can only imagine what they're going through. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mr. Stevens, would you do the honor of the pledge, sir?
Absolutely. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get a roll call, ma'am?
Trustee Fleischman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
And I get a motion to accept today's agenda. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, can I get a roll call?
Trustee Fleischman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
I'm going to go right into the agenda. Robin, I believe you have a resolution that was prepared by the legal team. Would you read the resolution?
Resolution 2026-037 is a resolution adopting and approving a collective bargaining agreement between the Franklin Township Board of Trustees and Teamsters Local Union 413 Office and Clerical Employees. Whereas the Board of Trustees and Teamsters Local 413 have previously entered into a collective bargaining agreement and desire to adopt and approve a new contract that outlines the terms and conditions of employment for their office and clerical employees. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board adopts and approves the collective bargaining agreement between Franklin Township Board of Trustees and Teamsters Local Union 413 Office and Clerical Employees, version dated February the 12th, 2026. The benefits outlined within the collective bargaining agreement shall retroactively be applied to January 1st of 2026. All former actions of this Board of Trustees concerning and relating to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the Board of Trustees, and that all deliberations of the Board of Trustees and any of its committees that result in such formal action when a meeting open to the public, in compliance with all legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code. This resolution shall be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Hearing none, can I get a roll call?
Trustee Fleischman?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to vote no, just getting it today, not understanding everything fully. I just don't feel confident in giving a yes vote.
Okay.
Right. Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
And Trustee Levin?
Yes.
So this is the resolution, and then here on the back is where the two of you would sign. Do you want me to continue
Yeah, we can go ahead. I just want to make sure, so we're going to sign the resolution, John, and then we're going to sign the back of the contract. So okay. We can send it over. That's what Julie asked. So I'm sure you've done so many of these, you already do.
Yes, sir. My apologies to the board. Just receiving that contract this morning, trying to read over it and compare. Legal counsel sent me over a copy that said it had the changes in red. It did not, and then by the time I got it, I had to leave, so I didn't get a chance to really dive into it.
So did you read this part, John? I'm just curious, since we seem to be drifting back to discussion when we've already passed it, but I want to point out for the record, there were literally four issues that we had asked the council to look into. And two of the four, there's no change. And so the contract was agreed and signed off for. Everything else was agreed and signed off for by Mr. Mazur back on 8/20 of 25. We were just down to these few items. So literally, we got this at 6:30 last night. I called and spoke to both trustees to let them know that this was coming last night. Julie said she would get it out to us last night. So I understand if you didn't see it, but I did see it. I did bird the midnight oil last night to make sure everything lined up for me. And so I feel confident in signing this, but we're talking about no changes on longevity, no changes on vacation. They gave up the half a day before Thanksgiving. It says personal leave was 32 hours, and the whole conflict comes down to this clerical lead position, and that's what the change was. And we have talked about this clerical lead till we're sick, and I thought it was spelled out very clear and decisive, and it was fair to everybody. And so that's why I just wanted to get that on the record. I let you come back and put on the record what you wanted to put on the record, and so I took the opportunity to say what I had to say.
Sure, and I totally understand. Unless I'm mistaken, that was the first time that I've seen a bargaining contract. Granted, our legal counsel was on vacation for a week, and getting back and sending that to us and me poring over it, I didn't see it till about 9:45 this morning. And so I really could not have the amount of time to go through it. Understanding that it's through, I'm not against it. I just would rather myself been able to have time to go through, and if I had questions, I would do so.
So you're not going to sign it?
No, I didn't know I needed to. Did I miss something?
He voted no.
He doesn't sign it? He does sign it.
I don't know.
The contract passed.
It's just my vote.
He voted no, but the contract passed.
I mean, he passed it back, so I assumed he wasn't voting.
I'll take care of it. So I
didn't see. Okay.
Front one, he just didn't flip it over.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what I was trying to say.
I didn't see. See,
yeah.
I mean, he turned it over, so I figured he didn't want to sign it. That's all.
No, I'm not saying. I want to make sure everyone in for the tape. I'm not against the contract.
I understand. You're 100% right. You're not. I agree.
And it's just things, the way it worked out. Julie apologized to us that, you know, she doesn't like to do business with that. I get it at 9:45, and we're looking. I just ran out of time. It's 1 o'clock.
Okay, you got it at 6:45. You found it at 9:45.
Correct.
I just want to make sure all
correct.
The record is straight.
I said I ran out of time. You know, put it on me.
It's all good. So, ma'am, can you continue with the next resolution, please?
Sure. Resolution 2026-038. It's a resolution rescinding resolution 2025-193. So, Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin, Ohio, previously adopted resolution 2025-193, whereas the board determined it's necessary in its best interest of the township to rescind resolution 2025-193 in its entirety. Now be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio. The Board hereby rescinds and repeals Resolution 2025-193 in its entirety, and shall resolution have no further force or effect from and or after the effective date of this resolution. The Board hereby determines that all former actions of the Board concerning related to the passage of this resolution were taken in open meeting of the Board. All deliberations of this Board resulted in such former actions were in a meeting open to the public in compliance with all applicable legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code. The board hereby declares this resolution to be an emergency and be in full force effective immediately upon its adoption.
I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
Yes.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
What is Resolution 193?
So this is a resolution that we had signed earlier when James was in. You want to explain it, ma'am?
Because Resolution 2025-193 is a resolution basically going into a contract with the Manix Smith Group.
Okay.
Originally, And so since there's a whole, like a new contract coming through today, it was best that we rescind any prior arrangements and start fresh with a new arrangement.
It just didn't say what 193, I just did not, and I don't have anything here with 193, so I had no idea what 193 is.
I have it attached.
It's attached to it.
I understand now, but I just didn't see.
No, I'm glad you asked, because that was my question too.
What's 193?
Do you have any questions, ma'am?
No.
Oh, you're good.
Mr. Chairman, you have a second on the floor, I'm finished with my discussion.
Okay, and Brenda says none, so I'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleishman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Jim, I know we spoke earlier and you've got things to do. I asked Jim to step in since the clerical contract, I called him early this morning.
Sure.
And asked him to step in, but I know you said you had things to do, so if you'd like to cut out, I appreciate you coming in for that. And then if you have any questions afterwards, just reach out to any of us and on the contract and stuff.
Absolutely, if you guys have any questions, feel free to contact me.
Yes, sir, thank you. Okay. So we'll move on to number three, Ms. Watkins. Resolution 2026-039. I'll let you pick it up from there.
Okay. It's resolution 2026-039. Approving an agreement with the Manikin Smith Group. Whereas the Manikin Smith Group has proposed a contract for professional services, whereas the board desires to authorize the adoption and execution of this agreement, whereas an investor into the township for the Board of Trustees to adopt and enter this agreement. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the following resolution be and hereby adopted. Be it further resolved that the board hereby adopts and approves the form of the agreement together with any other changes therein and amendment thereto, not inconsistent with the resolution and not adverse to the township, the board hereby authorizes and empowers and appoints on behalf of the board and the township John Fleishman, trustee, to execute the agreement and substantially in that form to file with the township along with any changes or amendments thereto, provided that all approval of those changes and amendments by the representative and the character of those changes and amendments are not being inconsistent with the resolution or adverse to the township and shall be evidenced conclusively by the representative's execution of the agreement. Therefore, the representative is authorized to, on behalf of the township, to take any and all action and execute any and all documents that are necessary to be completed by the township in order to finalize this agreement. Be it further resolved that the board finds and determines that all former actions of this board concerning relating to the passage of this resolution were taken in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of the board that resulted in such former action were in a meeting open to the public and in compliance with all legal requirements. Be it further resolved that this resolution shall be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
Quick question, this resolution was prepared by our legal team also, correct?
Yes, it was.
So I accept the resolution as read, and I'm asking for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On the resolution itself, I originally signed a contract. Well, it went back and forth twice. I have not seen the revised one. Is this has been revised from our legal counsel, and the other side is okay with everything? It was their side that had a problem, and it had to do with liability, in which both attorneys feel comfortable with the language. So after I signed it, then their legal team was like, well, we have a sticking point, so we went back to the drawing board. This is now a new one, is that correct, where both parties are okay with?
So I believe it is a brand new one, I know it is, and that's why I asked the question, was this prepared by our legal team? So
it came through this morning.
Right, okay. And so I'm confident that Julie...
I have a contract for John to sign on the back.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking...
No,
yeah, the only reason that I was asking is because when I read it, there's a lot of illegal stuff in there that binds us and et cetera, yep. et cetera. I was fine with what Julie had.
Mm-hmm.
The other side was not okay with a couple sticky points, I call them. So I didn't know if they resolved that, and this is the same one, or this has now taken care of those issues. So it sounds like to me this is a new one, mm-hmm. and both parties are okay with it, and we will be moving on forward once we sign this.
Yeah, because this one was signed by their party on February the 4th.
Okay.
So it's a new dated
Yes, ma'am. So I'm good with that.
So I need a roll call then.
Yeah. Does she have any questions, ma'am?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I'll take a roll call, ma'am.
Trustee Fleishman?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I know she's prepared.
She did it in a different way. So Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
And then Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Did you get me, ma'am? I can't remember.
Trustee Fleishman?
You were first.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
So we all just signed the front one and then?
And then John signed the tab there in the back, yes.
So that's taken.
Thank you.
That's good.
And then I know.
I don't know any specifics of the contract, just that we needed it and it's good.
And then while I've got.
The fact that we got it, I know that Cornell's under the gun. We now have it and we're marching forward.
Appreciate it.
While we're on that.
One more signature and it's done.
Oh, I need signatures on the purchase order.
Okay.
So this is the purchase order for the Manigan Smith Group. For the, this is $1 million purchase order. So as they begin doing their work and they have submitted one invoice that will be processed once this purchase order is fully signed. That means by you and by our fiscal officer. Okay.
That, yeah, wasn't a,
I said fiscal officer, and she's like, oh. No,
we
it's
have,
all good.
We have our own issues.
Who doesn't?
John, did you hear the explanation on this here?
Yes, I did. It's $1 million. It's for the actual.
And we're trying to get on it today because we've got to get Miss Justice to sign this. That's what's the part I needed you to hear, so.
Yeah, so there's a tab there somewhere.
That's
John.
Why I was like, oh boy.
That's just the all the additional stuff.
I got the tab on this
Yeah,
one.
So that one's just for the purchase order.
Okay, so there's no tab
on that.
No,
on that one.
And
my
that's
apologies.
Why I need them, right?
Yes, sir.
So now we are complete on that.
Mm-hmm. You want this stuff back, ma'am?
And then this is just another purchase order for after
so
the meeting.
So at this point, we just need the fiscal officer to sign, and then we'll get money rolling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So at this time, if you'd like to, Zach.
Yeah, I didn't realize today was the open meeting, which is fine. This is probably more appropriate for an executive, but I don't know why.
If we can, we can hold
it for
that.
I don't think there's anything too proprietary. They're sensitive that I'm going to share. It just was more of a private style, but that doesn't matter to me. There's nothing to hide or
No, I don't think there's anything to hide, but if you, I know there's things in your plans that you'd explain to me that necessarily don't need to be given out, you know what I'm trying to say?
So I'm not too uncomfortable with it.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, anything that you hand us up here on this table is public record.
Yep.
So if you have plans and stuff that, and anything that needs to be kept tight rein until things are put into place, please don't set it up here.
Sure. Okay. Maybe I'll save these for...
So I hate that you came, Zach. How about next Thursday? An hour before our regular meeting, which is at 5 o'clock, or does that not work for you?
I'm going to be in LA next week. My March is horrible. I've got like 5 days in the month of March. I'm actually in Columbus, so this is fine. We can have an open discussion.
Okay. Whatever you feel comfortable.
Yeah, no. I think after last meeting, I think it was important for me and my dad and brother who couldn't join, obviously, but to kind of start off on a fresh foot, start as if you know this is the first time that we were meeting. Mm-hmm. I feel bad that you know I've been having public meetings with county, with state, city, for non-related to annexation, just about the project and briefing them. And it's like, hey, I haven't had this opportunity to brief the township about the project, where we stand from my point of view with it. And to kind of take a step back, of course, I'm involved with the overall entire 88-acre site redevelopment and the master plans for the site, but my project is specific to the amphitheater and/or music hall. And this park that kind of go with all of that as an entertainment district and venue. So I'm leading that piece of it, obviously in conjunction with my dad and brother on the overall master plan. But, you know, I want to start over, you know, have the opportunity to present what I'm working on, what our vision is, why it's good, what it's going to bring for the township, for the county, for the state, and the city, and you know, adhering in neighboring cities and townships. But yeah, just to start over and build some rapport with you guys and, you know, have open dialogue and, you know, answer any other questions or anything that might be out there.
Mr. Chairman, if I
may. Yes, sir.
I think I speak on behalf of the whole board here. One of the things is your dad had spoke to us in regards to it, and I know you guys hold your dad's word at heart. So at this point, I feel that the board is going to work with you with whatever. We put to bed the last issue that we had in an executive meeting, and I don't believe it's going to come up. So all I'm going to do is when I see you is ask you, what can we do for you?
Sure, well.
Same as someone knocks on your door, you say hello, there's a welcome mat. What can we do for you? What do you need? I encourage you to ask for executive meetings when it's appropriate by the statute of the law. If there's things that we need to do and et cetera, by all means, you know, you're driving the ship, you just tell us what you need.
Sure, well, I appreciate that. And again, I'm not coming in here looking for a relationship of what do I need only, what do we need? Yes, the development has major significant needs, and those needs have residual benefits to township.
Absolutely.
And surrounding, but this is a two-way street, and that's how it should be, and so my grandfather did business, and my dad has done conducted business, and how my brother and I plan to continue to do so. So just know that, you know, obviously we need the support, and we want it, and not a, you know, a development of the site absolutely needs it to be successful and to even get off the ground. So
your success is our success.
That's right.
And if I'm sitting there, it's the other way around. So success right. breeds success.
That's right. But I don't want to feel this is a give, 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 take, take, take.
Oh, no.
By any means. So, you know, this is as much business opportunity there is a lot of non-business value that this brings for everyone that it serves. Not only ticket buyers, but just residents that might not even enjoy live music and going to events. It helps drive property values and create jobs and better school districts and a larger police force and maybe a second fire station, you know. So I think it's really important to see through, you know, the little bumps in the road that how you get to these things to what the end result, you know, does for an entire region, area, whatever you want to call it, the conglomerate of all the municipalities that have to gain from it. So that's how I just wanted to kick off and give you a little background on the project. As you're aware, we used to have an amphitheater in Columbus. It was up at Polaris, the Germain Amphitheater. Currently now is occupied by a Topgolf and an IKEA. It was about 25,000 at capacity, and it closed, I think, in the early 2000s, and not because of bad business, just because that land became too valuable and the developers wanted to go elsewhere and start developing residential. And saw the opportunity as Polaris, you know, grew as a suburb, that site wasn't meant for an amphitheater anymore. Also at 25,000 capacity, it was a huge piece, that was a bigger site than we have, you know, that was in the parking accommodation that a 25,000 site, you know, needs. What we are working on and very close to the finish line, pending some more public investment and support, is a 12,000 capacity outdoor amphitheater and a 4,000 capacity indoor music hall. And then in addition, we plan to have some kind of public space, pocket park, plaza district to kind of be the center of gravity for these two venues. But then as the site continues to master plan and develop, that this kind of remains as like the anchor, the heart of the redevelopment of the site. The outdoor amphitheater at 12,000 capacity, why do we choose 12,000? We feel that's the perfect size for one, what the site can support based on the infrastructure, freeway egress and ingress and exits, the road infrastructure, and just the general site size. But also, it's one of the most successful size products that are being built nationwide right now. The 20,000-25,000 caps, very few and far between of those are being built. There's only so many artists that can sell that many tickets, so you're going to limit how many shows you can produce when you're at that certain size, because someone that maybe sells 5,000 or 6,000 tickets would never consider going to a 20,000-25,000 capacity venue. The economics don't work, nor does the experience. Someone that can sell 25,000 tickets could consider a 12,000 cap venue because they can call it an underplay where it's a guaranteed sellout, and they could make that work while they're also playing Cleveland and or Cincinnati, because it's not going to take too many tickets away from the market that they can still support all venues. Or they could do two nights at a 12,000 to get the same 25,000.
Or, economically speaking, anytime you want to fly first class, it costs a little more.
Right, that's true too. So we feel that 12,000 is a great space because we can book shows that sell 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 tickets, still work in that room, look good, feel good, but also flex up to 12,000 to get some of the bigger names, because that's the amount of tickets you need to support those talent fees. The outdoor amphitheater, obviously being in Columbus, Ohio, is seasonal. We only have so many days of the year that you can rely on good weather consistently. So it's, you know, it's a late April to early October at this point, it's about 5 months. And at peak, once it's stabilized, you know, after by year 3, 4, 5, once this thing's up and running and we feel good about it, you know, I don't see us doing more than 30 to 35 shows a year, even when it's, you know, at optimal capacity. That's just based on the amount of artists that tour, that can fill this place, the amount of days that we can operate, you know, seasonality, and just the economics, you know, of the concert business at that kind of scale and scope. So the good news is that the concerns about maybe noise or traffic or whatever it brings, it's only 30 to 35 days of the year. Additionally, we will have, and already do have, foolproof plans for all of the concerns. That's where we started, is let's address the concerns first before we get too far down the road. And we've garnered a ton of public support at the state, county, city, and hopefully township level of this project and what it can do. The indoor music hall, 4,000 cap, that can operate year round. We plan to see about 80 some shows through there a year. In addition to maybe some private rentals, corporate rentals, public uses of the space, and you know, corporate banquets, weddings, who knows, right? There's a lack of event space in Central Ohio, and this can service that right here on our site when we're not running it for concerts. So that's a little more of a sound business model. The total project of just those two venues alone with the land and development costs is about $180 million just for the music venues themselves. Cost of construction is through the roof, labor, land value, you know, everything. It's just, it's all very expensive to build these things. And I'm happy to send some follow-up, but if you look around the country, just on news articles, all of the new amphitheaters that are being built from Huntsville, Alabama, to Atlanta, to Kansas City, to Minneapolis, so on and so forth, they all are getting significant amount of public dollars invested into them. Some of them are in, you know, P3, public-private partnerships. Some are through major incentive programs, not just TIFs and JEDs and whatnot, but other, you know, budget, capital budget kind of programs. There's an example down in Huntsville, Alabama, city about a fourth the size of Columbus, outright just paid $80 million for a brand new amphitheater, 7,700 capacity. It's called the Orion. It's like a Taj Mahal of amphitheaters. It looks like something straight out of Greece. And the city paid for it because of the economic impact and development that has on a city. They justify the cost of just outright owning it, operating it, and building it themselves. They have an operating budget. They have a private operator in there. They have a lease agreement with. And it seems to be working out for them for what you can expect of a city like Huntsville. Obviously, we are far beyond you know, the wherewithals of a city like Huntsville and can do a lot bigger and better here. But they don't pencil to paper because traditional investment, you know, real estate investors, funds, private equity, banks will only, you know, lend you the money or underwrite against the income that it produces. Well, the income is from an operator's agreement, which would be a joint venture of myself and another large operator to come in, and you pay a lease, right? When you rent property or as commercial property, you pay a lease. The amount you pay in the lease is supported by how much that business does. The business is selling tickets and beer and water and a little bit of merchandise. And when you can only do that 30 sometimes a year, even at 12,000 capacity, the number is only so much. So the lease that we can sign up for as the operator to rent the venue doesn't cover a 15 or 20 year amortized cost of what it is to build the venue. So there's this gap, we have a large funding gap. The indoor venue is a lot closer, it still has a gap, but it comes closer because you can use it more times. And it's obviously not as big to build, it's a little more traditional in the way it's built. Also, you have to build these things right. You have to build them for the fans so they wanna come. You have to build them for the artists so they wanna come and not skip Columbus or skip coming to this site or go to another venue in town that wanna play these venues. So you can't really cut too many corners on how you build them. It doesn't need to be, you know, gold carat plated, but it's got to be done right to have the greatest experience for the fans and the artist alike. So we have about a $60 million funding gap in total. I've got a private equity group out of Chicago that's publicly traded that's willing to put in $100+ million into the project. My partner on the operating lease is willing to put $20 million into the project. There's about $120 million of our $180. So we've got a $60 million gap. Through successful conversations with the county, they seem to be in support of a way that I've come up with to cut that funding gap in half to about $30 million by just one, through a property tax abatement from the county, through a sales tax abatement of construction costs of materials and goods, and through us establishing our own NCA, a new community authority, the governing body of the designated area, to impose our own ticket and concessions tax through an NCA charge. The city of Columbus has their own admissions tax, so when you go to a show at Nationwide Arena or the Kemba Live venues, any of the venues in the city of Columbus, there's a 5% entertainment admissions tax because the state doesn't have one. So the city a few years ago got smart, said, hey, let's fund GCAC through a ticket tax, and they impose this 5% ticket tax. Well, by remaining unincorporated, we are not subject to that ticket tax, so therefore we create our own governing body, the NCA, and we can just, so that's $20 million alone of that ticket tax and NCA charge that we can help close our funding gap. So without really asking for any capital budget contributions or grant programs or other, out non-traditional public fund sources, we can pretty much self-impose that $60 million gap down to $30 million. So now I'm out here trying to figure out how do I close $30 million funding gap. I think I can get the county to sign up for a good chunk of it. I think the city is going to participate somehow, regardless of an annexation conversation. They've already said that they would support the project regardless of annexation because they understand the hotel tax and the tourism benefit that the city will gain from this. Obviously also the rise of property value, and I think what it can do for that corridor in between Franklinton and the 270 Broad Street intersection, help the middle develop out. I was hoping the state would come in a meaningful way. There aren't a lot of programs at the state that apply to this unique of a situation and use. We thought they were going to have a program with this cultural entertainment venues fund. You've heard about the new Brown Stadium and how they're using unclaimed funds at the state level to fund that build. Well, someone stepped up last year and said, well, hey, if you're going to do that for the Browns, you got to do that for the Bengals and the Blue Jackets. And someone said, well, if you do it for the Bengals and the Blue Jackets, you got to do it for the Toledo Mudheads and the Columbus Clippers. And someone said, well, you also need to do it for the arts venues and the concert venues. And then it just spiraled down. They said, okay, we'll have a sports fund, and then we'll have a cultural venues and entertainment fund, all pulling down from these unclaimed funds. And we said, wow, we qualify. We spoke to everyone at the different state level on both the House and the Senate and the governor's office, said, yeah, this is a great project. You guys would absolutely fit, and we'd support you in your application and hope that you would be awarded funds from this program. Well, someone didn't like that it was going to be under DeWine's Republican Party last piece of legislation and put an injunction and filed a lawsuit, so now that whole thing's on hold. We have no idea where it's going to land. Hopefully it comes back, but we just can't rely on it at this point, so I don't know where the state stands. The only program at the state that is available to anyone, including us right now, is this capital budget. They do the state capital budget every 2 years, which is what the OTSCIF, the program of which we were awarded.
2.5?
That was the one point, the 1 million. 1.5. The 1 million came from the OTSCIF 2 years ago, which you guys just signed off on. That was a much bigger budget 2 years ago because it had carryover funds from COVID. We're back to a normal operating budget. It's not very large. All of, I think, Franklin County is awarded like 20-ish million through all the projects that get requested on. The total budget, I believe, is around 130, 150 million at the state level. That has to go through the entire state, all sorts of projects. So the capital budget is one program that we want to apply for this year. Stipulations of capital budget are no different than what it was 2 years ago. It has to either be a nonprofit or a government entity that applies and shepherds the funds and direct the use of those funds, and has to be expended by, I think, within a year or so or 2 years after receiving the funds, and it's specific to the application in which you apply for the funds to be used for. As a private entity and for use of an amphitheater and private business, we can't really apply for the funds. My thought was, as part of our site plan of the overall project, there's a public park that we plan to either dedicate to township or the NCA as part of this project. It's about 2 to 2.5 acre park, green space, walking path around it, flexible space to be used for food truck events, for farmers markets, for taking your dog over there and running around with your dog, for speakers, small concerts, really anything, right? Just a public park with some green space that'll be maintained at the heart of the site that can be used to also create, you know, hopefully some recreational destination. Maybe bikers will bike there and get off their bikes, take a break, hang out, throw a frisbee, who knows? You know, it brings vibrancy and life to an 88-acre site and not just, you know, concrete and steel. My thought was, if was going to be to propose the township to apply for that grant program, we're asking for $250,000 from the state. We have been given support from the Columbus Partnership and have made their list, which is a really important list to make, because if anything happens with basically within Franklin County, if you're not on the partnership's list, it's really hard to be awarded funds, because the state looks at the partnership as the puppeteers, of course, of the area, and know that they want to shepherd good projects. So as a small, you know, as a smaller ask for the project, again, $250,000 as part of a $180 million project is not very significant. Every bit helps. For me, the importance of this is that, one, we at least put our name in the hat of projects at the state level, for them to continue to have the confidence in us that we are doing everything that's available to us, that we are making progress in this development. When we go to ask for bigger funding and bigger support from the state and county, they're going to say, well, did you apply for the capital budget? And we're going to have to say, yes, we did. Whether we were awarded successfully or not, we still have to check that box to, I think, apply. Otherwise, I think we're just being lazy and asking for them to reach into their pocketbooks without, you know, going through the traditional programs. So that was kind of one of the thoughts I had after last meeting, and this is on the horizon. The applications are due March 12th. I'm not pressed either way. I thought it'd be a good opportunity. And again, positioning those funds specific to the public park as opposed to the private development and enterprise of it felt appropriate as well.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Sure.
Got my thought process going, and I made a few notes as you were speaking. One of the things that to build up to the $30 million, it's how do we get an elephant one bite at a time. Have you given much thought to, similar to some places do, season tickets, golden tickets, reserved to a certain amount? How much could it bring, depending on how many tickets of a premier season, just like you see in pro football and et cetera, they get the box seats?
Yeah, season whatever. Ticket licenses, PSLs, yep. Absolutely. And that's part of the operating budget, okay. Which already has been factored to, like,
so you factor that. So yep. The second thing, if we move to the park, I've been very involved in different areas in Columbus and in the park industries. They have 5K runs, they have the pet runs, they have all these different things that I've been associated with. And there is a procedure in place and how much their space rents for that afternoon for the 5K, and it generates a decent amount of funding. The same as if you had the 4th of July, you kick off the whatever you would like to call it. Food trucks pay a service fee to be able to have the particular places. So the amount of money that can be generated from a said park in that area on certain holidays and things of that nature, as well as being entertained and used by the public at no cost. My question would be, how do we, does that revenue, does the park reside in Franklin Township? Does Franklin Township, would reside in Franklin Township,
yep.
But would the potentially Franklin Township be the engine that would sell
benefit of it?
I'm sorry?
The benefit of the park.
Correct.
Beneficial. I think it depends who's maintaining the park and the operating budget for that,
sure.
Park. I don't have any intention to monetize this.
Okay,
park.
So that's what I was asking, because I just myself, I haven't talked to the board about this, but it's a huge shot. What it costs us, even if we contract out a service that manages and you buy the license,
yeah.
It should go that way, as far as if you are having a, hypothetically, let's say you're having a red, white, and blue event there, you got the parking and everything else, the food trucks are set up there, we got the park for sitting, you know, you get a ticket, you can put your lawn chair and watch the fireworks or whatever. The township would benefit in those ticket sales for the person that you would actually get your tickets. There's numerous things, and I don't want to hold the board up, but the opportunity for the Board of Trustees and the residents of Franklin Township to have something that we would be able to take care of and then it takes care of the township in different things as ticket sales, et cetera, et cetera, and working together in that area. I personally see a win-win for both sides. In doing so with this particular park and the grant that we need to facilitate, of course, it would go through our legal, but the benefits that I see that I'm spelling out and versus what your group is offering, I think it's a win-win, and I would thank you for that, handing that branch over. I see a huge benefit to this township for having something like that, but again, the board, I'm one person, and I'm throwing out stuff that they, you know, we would need to talk about this.
Yeah.
But it is exciting news to hear something like that.
Yeah, we need public space as part of the development. You can't just develop this large of a site and not have that kind of green and open space. I don't want to continue to manage it either, right? So it's
sure.
Great if we have a public entity involved and have public use of that space and then figure out how you come up with the budget to maintain it as well. And just to clarify, the $250,000 we're applying for is only, it's part of what we estimate to be about $2 million
sure.
investment plus to create the park, you know, grade it, seed it, landscape it, hardscape it, develop
gotcha.
It, the whole thing. So we still have to come up with the rest of it, but that's my problem. It's not anyone else's.
Sure.
But this would be used to kick that off, help with the drawings, the engineering of it, the architecture of it, and the administration of getting that as part of the master development here.
And would the township, would we be able to look at those plans as well and say,
sure.
you know, actually, if you was to put X, Y, and Z on this side, we could have this flow this way and et cetera.
Yeah, it's all based on feasibility, right?
Okay,
and what the engineers and architects say,
right.
and then what the budget then comes out to based on those, you know, design.
Right. Just trying to make
changes.
A shoe fit a size 10.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and again, back to kind of what we talked about in the last meeting, we were so far from the finish line of this overall project, just seeing how the whole thing comes together and what actually comes to the site. So there could be 10 iterations of this park. Is it a peanut looking shape? Is it a triangle? Is it a rectangle? All that's, I think, you know, as the project comes together, but we know that we want a 2-acre-ish park
yeah.
outside of the amphitheater and music hall to kind of create that plaza open synergy space, because
sure.
you know, one of the visions is, what if we try to attract a music festival to the site, not just concerts, but you do your stage, the amphitheater stage, you have another stage out in this little park, and you have another stage inside, and you put a little fence around the streets,
absolutely.
Close it down, and you get a whole thing going on out there.
Right.
We want to have that ability to be flexible and have multi-use space.
Well, one of the biggest things you, and I apologize to the board, my mind's racing, and I apologize taking up the time, but just as you said, if you make that particular area, their nationwide may want to purchase that for their employees for the day, and you got the concert going, you got this going, and then that's already pre-rented, and they have it hosted, and et cetera. So there's a million things
yeah,
that park can benefit, and then the township being in, again, I'm not putting it out there, but if we was to do that, then the monies would be peanuts to take care of it, and maintain it for what it would breed back into the township. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
I'll take a step back to our last meeting. Wasn't the best, like we said, began talking. But one thing did come out of that meeting, and I'm glad that I brought it up and said thank you to you guys for bringing it to our attention, is I think you'll see that we're a good dancing partner because of our first responders and our police department and our fires right there on Sullivan Avenue. Whether the casino's in Franklin Township or not's a bone, you know, is a real problem with everybody. But our guys answer a whole lot of calls there with mutual aid and everything. But one thing we all agreed upon at our last meeting was that you were happy with our first responders and our police department and
absolutely.
Stuff like that. So I think on that end of it, you have a little bit of an idea of how the board likes to have our people do, and we take pride in our police department and our fire department and our road department too, because they would all be, you know. I'm kind of wondering, I watch a little bit of other townships on YouTube and stuff, and so, I mean, I don't even know if this is even possible, because you know how much my experience
sure.
in politics is, but I believe there could be something created as a park development, you know, for us, you know,
absolutely.
What I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I know, I feel like your people, and I don't mean your people, Zach, but you guys are very good about grants and things like that, and you seem to have done this a lot and everything like that. And so we're not that great at it. We're going to get better, but you may be able to steer us onto potentially some things that could come our way, you know, to help with something like that. Other than just help, I'm talking about once it's there, there could be some things that could help us help to take care of it and things like that. There's, it's no secret what our budget is in this township, you know, what I'm trying to say and everything. So, but I am glad that we had that discussion at the, that meeting about them, because as I said here, they're definitely something to be proud of.
I'm happy, because capital budget is coming up, it's quick, it's March 12th for an application. I'm happy to ask our consultants that we have helping us with all this, if how and what a township can apply for specific township direct needs and uses, because we can help facilitate and guide you guys on submitting your own application. You're not limited to one. You can sign up and be the applicantee for this public park, but you can also, I think, probably put a side-by-side application in on behalf of firehouse restoration.
And you know what's really great today? I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm excited because we just put a clerical contract into place, and we're going to be bringing in a new employee, and we have the people in place that can take care of things. Robin and Nicole are here right now, and when we put them onto a project, they get it done. So if you're able to get your people to feed us the information, I feel confident that our people can, you know, and we'll do what we have to do. But I mean, that's what, I'm so glad that we got this done today. But if you can help us in that, in steering us in any way, it would be great.
Pass that along and help with that process if it's doable.
One of the things I did hear, I apologize, one minute. I did hear of potentially, I don't know if it's accurate or not, and I didn't have chance to research it, economic development grant that we would be able to hire someone to work on economic development. And I believe if we had an economic development person in an office right there, working with you guys, working with the township, and facilitating grants and et cetera, the Board of Trustees do what we're doing right now. We're to hear, we are to act, and et cetera. But if we had some type of mechanism in place that a professional person to say, here's what's out there, here's funding that you can get, the better that this township grows and you're growing, it's going to help each other. And we're going to be able to have 26 officers versus 13,
definitely,
hypothetically.
Definitely. Well, I think the best investment would probably be, I'd probably sign up with a firm, a law firm, you don't need to hire someone full time, that specializes in grant programs and representing public bodies, and then make sure you have the administrative personnel in place to back up the work that needs to be done, to write them, facilitate them, hopefully be awarded them, and then implement them and be that conduit between the board and the local business community or developers or nonprofits that, you know, would qualify and want to work, you know, with that funding or those programs, would be really great.
Sure. That's all I have, sir.
Ma'am?
Are you sure?
You're smiling. I see that smile. Your turn.
Okay, so I want to apologize if at the last meeting that you thought I was a little feisty, but I'm very passionate about our township and the residents of our township, and I'm also passionate about Westland Mall, okay? I want to see that place be that beautiful dream that you're seeing, as well as you want to see that. And to touch on what he was saying, I've already contacted an economic development group. I'm waiting on them to get back with me so that we can have a meeting amongst us with them to see what they can do for us, because they do work with townships and, you know, small municipalities and things. You know, not City of Columbus, but, you know. So I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate every one of you coming in here last week and you listening to me complain and the rest of us, you know. But I just wanted you to know that I do appreciate that. And I myself am looking forward to working with you. And I know the rest of the board is. And I think we're going to make Westland Mall great.
We are.
And I just wanted you to know that.
It takes a lot of work and time, but it'll come. I mean, it's finally ready. So
I don't think we need any anchors dragging behind us.
No. Well, I appreciate it. I can follow up a little bit more detail on the proposed grant application for the capital budget, and I will follow up as well and find out what are the stipulations to township applying just on behalf of the township's needs. Another, you know, I think you have to have a specific project in mind. It's the completion target in terms of date. They want to know if there's other monies already invested, or that would, they don't want to be the only money in, because then the project never happens.
Right.
So they want to assure that if they're putting the investment in, that it's going to get happen. But I'll find out what the technicalities are, ask our people happily, and then if they think it's possible, put you guys in touch and have them help out.
When the budget comes to a vote, et cetera, I know sometimes they take people on the floor. If you wanted someone from, I'm sure, one of us to go and speak on prior to the vote, or anything that we can help with to get that, that makes a big difference. I know it's one thing if we write a letter in support, we can do that. But sometimes you're allotted a certain amount of time to speak on the floor before the voter, before the administration, before they vote. I'm thinking that could be effective prior to a vote. If it swings
Absolutely.
It by one vote, that could make a difference.
That's right. I appreciate that offer, and I think I want to save that one for when.
Yes.
I don't think this budget per se has that opportunity.
Sure.
I have been having to arrange my own meetings and go meet with, you know, state representatives and
right.
Our congressional district leaders to talk to them about it. But hopefully there'll be other opportunities
yeah.
for that.
If you just bring it to
programs.
The boards and to the...
But a letter of support from the township would carry some weight for sure.
Okay. You tell us what we need and when we need it and the date by. Get with the board if you need a representative, and the board will decide who wants to, or, you know, who can go, and we would just take it from there.
Great.
Then if you want to get back to me, Zach, with dates that are, I heard you say you're out of town and different things, if you get back to me or any of us, but I'm the chairman, and let me know when you would like to do an executive session, I'll put it together and contact them and see what works for them, and we'll try to work around your schedule. Thursdays are really good for us because we're retired, and so we're open a lot of the times, but John runs a business, but he leaves his Thursdays always for township business, because every other Thursday we have a meeting, and he don't have to say, do I have a meeting this week? He knows, he just leaves his Thursdays open. So if you
Great.
Could keep that in mind
yeah.
and do a Thursday that you have open that you'd like to get together for an exec, we'd be more than happy to make that happen.
Great. Let's definitely look to do that at the end of this month or beginning of April. I'll shoot some dates over.
All right.
I don't have a pen to take everyone's email.
Here's my business
way?
Card and Brenda's business card, and I believe John has one.
Okay.
If that helps. I know my email's on mine.
Great.
Mine is too.
And as it relates to this potential
Would
grant application, is there someone specifically?
I wrote it down.
Okay, perfect. She's got it ready for you.
I just wrote.
Is there someone you want to designate on the grant application specific when I get the information?
What do you want to do?
Here's mine, just for clerical
Great.
Administrative support.
Okay, perfect.
Designated, I don't think it's her, I think it's one of us, correct?
I don't know. I
okay,
think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can read that, my
what
pen's getting
perfect.
I put
He's
myself in there.
The designee to put on the grant application.
Well,
okay.
at least send the information
okay.
too, if you guys to
oh,
review.
Oh, well, then we can. If you can just send the information to Robin, then
okay.
that that part there, then she automatically can disseminate it to all three of us.
Perfect.
I guess I didn't understand exactly what you were asking.
No, I'll let you guys review it and read it and ask any questions, and then
sure.
hopefully then by next week, if it works out and you guys would want to support it, then we could put it in motion
sure.
then.
Okay.
We know the tight line. We heard that
March 12th is the filing
yeah,
date.
Yeah.
Okay.
So definitely
Great.
Are interested, and we'll get let us know, and we'll get back to you.
Great.
And if you would, give your family and your father our best. And
I will.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I will. Anything else for me?
No. Thanks for coming in again.
Yeah. We'll do another
appreciate
meeting.
Appreciate it.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Like I said, I'm looking forward to working
yeah.
with you.
You guys too.
It's very
Great
exciting.
Meeting you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great rest of the week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Weather's trimming up a little.
Better cold.
Thank you. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Afternoon.
You too.
Okay.
So is there any other comments with that? Because the next thing on the agenda, everybody, is final comments. Did you have anything, John?
Mr. Chairman, just I can't tell you how much, and I'll talk to each of you guys later about what that potentially would mean for Franklin Township to have a 2-acre park for that we would be able to capture dollars coming in for rental, if you want to call it rental. Not only that, to actually display our name, how many townships have a 2-acre park and a dog park and the things of that nature. That would be huge to Franklin Township, and the fact that we would be able to have a discussion, an idea of what the park could look like, and carry that over to the developers to say, give you an example, if we were going to have to be able to have 30 food trucks there, then when they build that, all the food trucks have to do is plug into the electrical right there. Little things that you wouldn't think of, but a lot of these that I've been involved in, there used to be a Cox concession. I apologize, I thought that thing was off. They were the only company that started Red, White, and Boom and put you had to go through Cox concessions. Mm-hmm. In my business, I had to go through Cox concessions in order to do my business there, and seeing how that worked and everything set up, that's going to be huge for Franklin Township. So I think this was a great meeting in regards to the look of what Franklin Township has an opportunity.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if you guys have ever been to an event down at the Columbus Commons.
Same thing.
Like what he's describing, you know, with everything around it, the Columbus Commons is a pocket park.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you've been to the Spaghetti Warehouse and you look out back, that's a pocket park. Everything that's around it, they've got the small amphitheater, which this is going to have more, but it's just envisioning just the park, you know, I think would be a great asset. And then thinking about the bike trails that are going to be connecting, and the Linkus that's going to be connecting all of those great things that'll be coming through.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've talked about, what does Franklin Township get when we're getting these grants? Religiously, they talk about if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for life versus feeding him one day, you feed him for one day. The thought that $2 million to put into a park and then turn it over to us, in 10 years, it'll make more than that back. And then it's there forever for the next board sitting here and the different venues in that area. What this area is going to look like in 10 years from now, is going to feed tremendously, because different venues that you're going to have, this is going to be the sought after place to go to due to the fact you have the casino. So if you are a X company and you want to rent that space for your company party for 4th of July, New Year's, whatever it is, there's so much to do in that area, to play, to food, to etc. So Franklin Township, thank goodness to the family, this is going to be a great partnership for Franklin Township, that they finally have something. If you look at the townships around us, we're always looking at some of the ones that, well, they've got a JED and they were able to do X, Y, and Z. This place has a club, not a club, but what are they, where they go and swim and work out.
Community center.
How many of them have a park like this that they could do? So it'll be a little bit different than a community center. We don't know going down the road if we had an area there to put a community center in as well, but I'm just excited about the potentials and what I've seen in my whole career with something, and Ms. Watkins, as you mm-hmm. spoke about that Commons area, I'm very mm-hmm. familiar. I've mm-hmm. done many events there.
Sure.
And seeing what that's going to develop, it's huge.
Right.
It's extremely huge.
And it draws so much in the summertime, you know. And I was just thinking in my head when you started thinking about seasonal, I'm like, understanding that smaller venue that you know, could we not have a winter event? I mean, what would it cost to put a small skating rink in, like for like mm-hmm. something Winterfest type, where you
yeah.
come and you bundle
photos,
up?
I apologize.
No, but just right. Just thinking of some mm-hmm. sort of like a Winterfest.
That's what I'm thinking.
To help, mm-hmm. you're going to generate revenue.
Right.
Once it's there, then your mind really starts turning on what are some other ways to expand. And I understand this is kind of be their project and their baby, but it's going to be a part of our community. And how do we...
Farmers market.
Those are mm-hmm. always fun. And then thinking about how do you transition in the winter time? You know, what are things that draw mm-hmm. people out? things that you can do with your kids and stuff like that.
The small work that it takes from this township, we could easily contract an outside firm to take the ticket money, the venue space, keep the calendar. We don't have to do anything but keep the place clean and et cetera. And the farmer's market that's every Thursday of the month that comes there, or every Friday, they're huge. I've been to many of those.
People love them.
Yeah, it's great, great stuff all the way around. So, yes, it's amazing.
Anything else you want to add, Brenda? Comment on?
Thinking.
No.
I just think it's going to be a great thing, and I think it would be good that if it was dedicated to the township. But we'll see that in time, you know, and
just keep nurturing the relationship.
Right, right. And I think we have a very good start to a relationship. And, you know, that's...
It's just going to help offset some of the dollars from annexing properties that can come back in and help the people of the township. There's so much that we could do with dollars and putting in a lighting district. There's 100 different things that this board could say, yes, that's a good idea, above and beyond what our budget normally brings in. I'm done. I'll keep going.
No, it's okay. Well, I just want to say one thing that I'm excited about.
Nothing wrong
is
being excited.
That I understand that the dollar makes everything turn, and you have to have the dollars and all of that and everything. But what I'm excited for, and this is exactly what I got into this for, is the many people that live in Franklin Township who've never had an opportunity to go and enjoy a green space like this at a small trip over to Westland Mall and everything like that, and go and enjoy something like that and have something like this in their neighborhood. I think people are really going to be appreciative. It's not, you know, everything doesn't have to always be about making a buck or turning, you know, I mean, I just feel like many people that we represent, like when I campaigned and I would say to you guys, they say they can't pay anymore for a levy. They don't have it, you know, and stuff like that. These are the people that come to my mind that are going to say, oh, I can really go over here and enjoy. It's the people that we live in our community, and they're my neighbors, they're my, fit some of my family, and you know, different things like that. So I'm personally excited to be able to, at some point in time down in the future, to be able to say, come over here to Westland Mall and enjoy your park.
Right.
You know? I think just today alone, this is just, and again, I don't have any dog in this fight, I'm just sitting here at the corner of the table. But just being a basically a lifelong resident of the township and being through the journey of the, you know, back then historically the casino, and that whole thing was kept so quiet, and the residents wanted to know what was going on. Even if they just got a little nibble, they wanted to know. And I think today brings a little transparency to how this board is leading forward with the community. And no, not everything can be disclosed, because it can't be.
Right.
But just this little introduction today maybe allows people some hope.
And if you look at from the economic side, we have all paid our taxes when they go up, and we complain, and we look at a desolate land that fortunately we all played a part in getting $11.5 million to tear the old mall down that came through a grant from the governor's office. And then it allowed a economic boom to start. And we all heard what the cost of just this potential amphitheater area is, $180 million. Think of your property tax on $180 million. So this staying in the township, them wanting to be a partner of the township or the family of the township, is going to help all taxpayers.
Agreed.
Well, I just want to say one more thing,
yeah,
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Absolutely.
I just want the public to know that this park isn't coming out of our funds. This is coming from grants that are going to be applied for, as you heard earlier in the meeting. And, you know, I believe that it will benefit each and every resident of the township in some way. And that's all I wanted to say. Don't come at us saying, hey, you guys are wasting money on a park when we have a fire station closed. That's not it. You know, there's ways to do things and take some burden off the taxpayers while giving them something. And that's called grants. And that's all I wanted to say.
Perfect. I'm going to make a motion to approve the audio and video of the meeting and summary sheet as the official records and minutes of today's meeting. Can I get a second?
I will gladly second.
Any discussion? Can I have a roll call, ma'am? Mm-hmm.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Lastly, a reminder, the next meeting will be held on Thursday, March the 5th, 2026 at 6 p.m. and we're adjourned at 2:08.